Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
And we are back, folks. Another edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider. You know how we do in the summer. We have a little break in between episodes, but now we're back ready to go and talking about the latest hot topics with Michigan basketball with my guy. He wore the uniform, was a top level player, a first round draft pick, played in the NBA for a decade and has been a basketball commentator, one of the best in the land ever since. And my friend, that's how I refer to him first and foremost, Tim McCormick. Tim, how are you?
I'm good, Sam, except I miss you. I miss talking hoop. Been really busy. The Top 100 camp starts on next week on Monday. All the players are coming in. It's all consuming, but it's fun and it's exciting. And we've got the best collection of high school players anywhere. There will be 100 kids that all believe that they've got NBA potential. All 30 NBA teams will be there scouting them. There will be 350 college coaches, including Michigan. We have 12 current and former NBA players that will be coaching the teams as part of our coaching program. We've got NBA referees that are trying to get into the league. It's just a magnificent environment, so exciting. And when you consider that you've got Disney and all of their branding, it's just it's a fun week. And I know from your standpoint, you'll see a lot of guys that I know that you've been anxious to see as well.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it. One of the best camp experiences that you can go to in either sport, both because of the number of top shelf talents that are going to be there, but also the competitive environment that's set. And then the stakes with all those pros that they're playing for as coaches and all those scouts in the stands and all those coaches in the stands. I mean, yeah. It just brings another level of competition and gives you one of the best chances to really gauge how good a guy is. So love the camp. I think you do a great job with it. Just a shameless plug there. I think you do a great job with your involvement. But
you know, so you brought up a good point, Sam, that I want to elaborate on. Like, can you imagine being a high school kid and Rodney Hood or Skylar Mays there's so many really good young players that are going to be coaching your team and they're going to be talking about NBA terminology and they're going to put in NBA set plays and baseline out of bounds plays that they use in NBA games and in pick and roll, which is such a big part of the NBA today, they're going to be calling out NBA pick and roll coverages. And so it really gives them a graduate level view of what the NBA is like. And speaking of NBA, we also want to congratulate our guy, Jordan Poole. What a fantastic success story, all of his improvement. And we wish Musa and Caleb a lot of luck in the draft. That's for sure. I think I like Musa's chances better, but we want both of those guys to succeed. So a lot of good stuff going on.
You know, you sort of worry about the scenario where they fall. I mean, surprising thing is you still see Caleb pop up in mocks in the first round, but you hope that if he got that promise that it actually comes to fruition. You got two NBA teams with three first round picks, OKC and San Antonio. And those have been the teams rumored to be looking at him as a first rounder. Just hope it works out for both guys where they wind up in a really ideal setting.
I think Musa goes higher than people think. I think Caleb falls and drops a lot farther than people think. And, you know, the fact that Caleb didn't really want to work out for anybody, it sends a message. And I just never really got the sense that he loves the game. Like, he just didn't smile and have fun. But once again, he's a good kid, and I'm glad he went to Michigan, and I want him to be very successful.
All right, so Tim, let's get off into the the topics at hand as far as Michigan basketball is concerned, current Michigan basketball is concerned. And the Wolverines just picked up a commitment from a guy who Jet Howard mentioned on this. We said, Jet, who are you looking at in the portal? First name he mentioned was Joey Baker, now former Duke wing, is going to be a current Michigan wing. So what do you remember about Joey Baker?
Well, I first of all, I love the fact that Jet wanted him. Like, why would you bring in somebody that can kind of play the same position as you? But Jet, he's that guy. He loves to compete. Joey Baker was at the top 100 camp. I think it was, what, 2017. I think he's a really good player, outstanding pickup on a lot of different levels. I think that the number one thing I remember about him is he just doesn't miss open shots. He really has amazing confidence. He expects to make everything. Quick release. And the reason that's so important is that I can see him spotted up on the weak side, and Hunter's going to be working in the low post. And just his presence out there, you can't leave him. He's going to create space for Hunter. I think Hunter's going to learn to find him. Those guys are going to, they're going to coexist very well. And at 6'6", he reminds me a little bit of Luke Kennard. I think Luke had better ball skills, a little bit quicker, more of a playmaker. But Joey Baker shoots like that. And when you think about Caleb Houston, Caleb shot, what, 38%, which is very respectable. I think that number is a little bit misleading because so many of his big games came against some of the lesser competition teams. I want a guy that can go into Assembly Hall or the Breslin, tough game on Big Monday or Super Tuesday, and knock down shots. And Joey Baker played at Duke, and he played against great competition every single day in practice. And I get the sense that as an elite competitor, he got buried at Duke. Okay, they've got so many good players. And I think what's going to happen is he's going to come in here with a little attitude and say, I need to bump my minutes up. Instead of 12 per game, I want to play 20 or 22. I think he's going to be a really good player, Sam. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, so the floor. Let's talk about the floor with Joey Baker. If he can come in and give you at least what Caleb gave you last year, and this is not to disparage or diminish or denigrate Caleb in any way, shape, or form, but if he can give them that, they haven't lost any ground. I think that baseline is reasonable to expect. You're talking about a guy who's a 39% shooter from three. I think he shot over 40 last year. He's just had a limited sample space between getting buried and fighting through injuries. I mean, it was just a recipe for him to not be able to flourish there. But with more minutes and you drag it out, I mean, if he could at least give you Caleb, like I said, you are taking a step back. But I think it's reasonable to expect that he's going to give you more for all the reasons that you talked about. Level of competition that he faced consistently at Duke, that pressure cooker that he was in, the competition that he saw in practice, let alone games, and a change of scenery, Tim. Sometimes for guys like that, a change of scenery is just everything. And no one is expecting him to be the guy, just expecting him to be a guy. And think about how many good looks he should get from three with Hunter Dickinson patrolling the middle.
Yeah, he's going to get lost out there and find himself wide open for threes. And when you think about coming from the ACC, that's as high a level as you can get. And we saw Shondi Brown come in and after playing in the ACC, he certainly, you know, shot the ball better than anybody expected. The other thing about Joey Baker is that he's a captain on a Final Four team, and he's hungry to prove himself, and he is a leader, and he's a fun guy. And I think that Juwan Howard's going to like having a few more older guys in his locker room. Remember, it's hard because last year's team was so darn young, and captains and veterans, they're not afraid to do some coaching. We've heard the best led teams are player led teams, and Joey Baker is going to help in that area a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a really good pickup. Now, again, you know, not expecting a world beater, but I am expecting a shooting upgrade from what they got from Caleb. You pointed out a very good sort of factor, important factor. Shot well against a lot of lower level teams and a lot of lower level teams at home. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the home road splits were dramatically different for him. So, again, I think you can expect for that to be a tick or two better with Joey Baker. Michigan betting on him being healthy. I think they probably checked that out pretty thoroughly. And if between that and the experience and the change of scenery, I'm expecting for them to have a better shooting quotient there. And then you pair that with the addition of Jalen Llewellyn, Tim. I mean, these are, I think, two veteran presences, two valuable additions that the Wolverines will have made here through the portal in the offseason.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Jalen last podcast, and I'm reluctant to overhype him, but I think he's going to be a better player from day one than Mike Smith and Devontae Jones. Both of those guys took a little bit of time. There was a transition. I think that Jalen Llewellyn is going to be a little bit further along, and part of the reason is that when you look at the fact that Michigan basketball is going, I believe it's to France in mid-August, they have four games scheduled. They'll have four practices to get ready for that. That's going to be so valuable for Llewellyn and Baker and the freshmen to just get a little bit more acclimated. And I think Doug McDaniel is going to really benefit too. He's going to get some valuable minutes this year. And so what turned out to be a strength was a real concern about a month ago. And I like the backcourt. And if they get Yusef Hyatt, I think that's how you pronounce his name, that gives you a lot of depth, maybe to the point where you've got too many good players. Remember, we don't really even know Isaiah Barnes and Will Cheddar yet. And you add them to the mix. Michigan's got a lot of players.
Yeah, I think another great point we've heard in the past about how that foreign tour can really expedite the sort of the acclimation period of a team. You know, going back to when John Beilein took some teams abroad. I mean, it really, really helps. And in the case of new players, I mean, Jalen Llewellyn is on campus now. He's been there. You know, I talked to Papa Conte about his visit, and he said there were only three guys on campus. It was Isaiah Barnes, it was Terrence Williams, and then it was Jalen Llewellyn. So he's there trying to get in the mix, trying to get acclimated, but the whole team isn't there yet. So sooner you can get all the guys on campus connecting and clicking and then do so in a practice capacity, the better. And then you throw in there games, really going to ramp things up for Michigan and for the chemistry and cohesion of the squad kind of coming together and getting it to where they need it to be. So Yusef Hyatt, it'll be interesting to see. He's supposed to make his decision this week. You have Michigan, you have Xavier. Those are the two schools that are really, really standing out on the list at the moment, according to my sources. I'm really thinking it's going to be those two teams that it comes down to, but you got a couple of others in there as well. He has a Final Four that also includes Wake Forest and DePaul. But you think about, Tim, that Michigan with Musa and with Mo Wagner, I mean, those are two guys, foreigners that came here and really flourished, that really stands out. And then the brand name of Michigan, which he knew, Xavier, you know, Sean Miller can talk about Lauri Markkanen, but at a different school. And when you compare the brand names of the school, no disrespect intended to Xavier, but they just, I mean, Michigan is Michigan. So I really like Michigan's chances in this mix for Yusef Hyatt.
Well, Yusef's going to have to really battle to get on the court, because if he's a three or a four, that's where Michigan's the deepest. And I think it's going to be hard to get minutes. So at 6'9" with perimeter skills, the first name that jumps into my mind is Franz Wagner. You know, from what you've seen, are there similarities? Does he have that kind of skill set?
Yeah, defensively especially is one of the things that scouts. Now, I want to be clear here. I haven't seen Yusuf Hayat with my own eyes. Reading scouting reports and watching highlights is really what it boils down to. But what they say, Tim, what they say about Yusuf Hayat and what he brings to the table is that he is a super versatile defender that is switchable, can move his feet, can stay in front of a guard, just really, and then a real willingness to play that end of the court, a desire to play that end of the court. That was another thing that really stood out about the scouting report for Yusuf as well. And so that's a way to get on the floor if you're Yusuf Hayat. So you're right. I mean, if there's a reason that he winds up not picking Michigan, I think what you pointed out about depth chart would probably be the reason. That would be the equalizer, but everything else. And just looking at the, kind of sharing with you the scouting report real quick from Euro Hoops, it said he possesses good fluidity and coordination, which allow him to move well around the court and get to his spots. He's not extremely vertical, but he's quick and explosive to get up offensively. Yusuf can't be considered a shot creator at this point. Instead, he scores the majority of his points by running hard in the open court and cutting with great intensity and timing. He displays constant motion off the ball and good reads when taking advantage of defensive mistakes. He also showcased an improved and refined finishing package in the paint, flashing a promising floater. Moreover, Hayat has tremendous defensive upside thanks to his motor, willingness to sit in the stance, lateral movements and instincts, Tim. That is the scouting report from Euro Hoops.
Are you sure that's not Franz Wagner's scouting report? It sounds a lot like him. Okay, Sam, I'm going to give you your chance now, okay? Michigan lands Yusuf Hayat. What is Michigan's starting lineup next year?
All right,
start the point guard. It's easier that way.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Jalen Llewellyn. I'm going to go with Kobe Bufkin. Hunter Dickinson, of course. Definitely going to go with Jet Howard. And here's the thing. I think the Jet has the ingredients to be the guy that they to be the focal point, the shot creator, the offensive catalyst on the team. Maybe not this year because everything's going to run through Hunter. But next year, I think he's going to be that guy. So Jet Howard. And then my final one, Terrence Williams.
I like it. I've got no problems with that. And I think that the freshman class is going to get a really good opportunity to play. I also think that Terrence Williams, I like him because he doesn't care about competition. And I was just kind of, I've been thinking all along, if Musa and Caleb returned to Michigan, there really wouldn't be a spot for Terrence. And I wouldn't be surprised if he would have left. But I just give him credit. He loves Michigan. He loves Juwan. And I would love to see him get big minutes.
Yeah, me too. He will have earned them. He will have earned them. That's the thing that you can say. Nothing would be given to T. Will. And I'm excited to see what he does with more minutes out there on the floor. But we know we're going to get it from both ends. I'm really interested to see what he adds as far as a dribble drive element to his game. Tim, your starting lineup. You asked me mine. What's yours?
Same. I mean, your second lineup is what I liked, and I just think that I think Jet is pretty special.
I do too.
And yeah, and I think he's going to be a starter. I'll take it one step further. I don't want to overhype the guy, but I think he'll be on the all freshman, all Big Ten team.
I can see that too.
Yeah, I think he's mature. He competes hard. He's got to improve his defense. He's not a defender right now. But I think that this might be a little bit of a stretch. And I don't want to seem like I'm going after Caleb, but I think part of the reason that Caleb left is because he had a chance to play in some open gyms against Jet And he thought, I want no part of what's coming. It's going to be harder for me to get shots and minutes next year. And this might be my best chance to go. And I'll take it one step further. I remember when I was thinking about whether to come back for my fifth year or go to the NBA draft, I just kept watching Roy Tarpley thinking this guy's coming fast and he's going to be our best player next year. So my stock is good. I need to leave right now. And I think that Caleb might've been thinking the same thing.
Hey, I don't know if that dynamic played into it or not, but I can certainly see it. I think that Jets freshman year, I don't think this is a leap. And again, no disrespect intended, but I expect for Jets freshman year, I expect for his production offensively to be greater than what we saw from Caleb. He can just do more. Yeah. He can get it off the bounce. He can shoot it off the bounce. He can create for others. We saw that at the NBA at the top 100 camp last year and more and more over the course of his final season at IMG. And what I like most about him, I mean, he's grown up being reared by pros, being molded by pros. His dad is obviously a pro, but that sense of entitlement when you talk to him is not there. Like, he doesn't expect to just have it handed to him. And I like that about him. I think it translates in part to working hard and earning that early time on the playing on the basketball court.
Here's another one. We talked about Terrence Williams, who we talked about Jet. I'm kind of anxious to see Greg Glenn. I'm intrigued with him. He's bigger than both of them. I think his ball handling is a little bit better. He's a good shooter. I'm thinking that he could be a surprise this year.
So surprises. This is one of the ways to really kind of wind down. So kind of who's going to be the breakout player this year, Tim? I mean, you got an early candidate or some early candidates for that?
Well, there are guys that we don't know, Isaiah Barnes and Will Cheddar, right? And they both are coming off of their redshirt year, and it's a big jump from your freshman to your sophomore year. We obviously haven't seen enough. I've seen them in practice a little bit, but didn't have a great read on how good they are. You know, I still find it a little bit interesting that Juwan decided to redshirt two guys. That may have led the country. That's something that a lot of people are saying. With the transfer portal, it's a lot more valuable to have those scholarships available, because if somebody isn't playing, they're probably going to leave and you can upgrade that position. So to have two guys that were practicing every day, I'm sure that Juwan likes them, or he would not have wanted two guys around that may not fit into the rotation. Like who is Isaiah Barnes going to take minutes from? I can't see it. Will Cheddar, is he going to push Hunter Dickinson play backup five? I don't think so. Terrace Reed's going to be really a good player. He's going to grab those minutes. And if he can shoot like I think he can, you might see him at the four. So it's tough for Barnes and Cheddar, and I don't see where they're going to get minutes. So if you're looking for somebody that may surprise us because he's really good and we didn't talk about him contributing, I think that Glenn might be that guy.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. The guy that you remember Jet picked out was Will Cheddar. He said thinks that Will Cheddar could be a guy who really emerges because he's tough, he's physical. He can shoot it. We know he can shoot it from high school. I think there's going to be a premium on guys who can knock down open shots. Especially between Hunter and increased penetration this year between Jalen Llewellyn and Jet Howard, there should be some more high percentage or higher percentage perimeter looks. Who can take advantage of that? Who can knock those kinds of shots down? And so that might create an opportunity. And then you add to it the Terrace. I like Terrace. I went to St. Louis to talk to Terrace. I'm with you. Terrace insists he can play the four. He said he's used to it. He said he played with another big, the guy that's going to Ohio State. play with another big, with Mo Can Elite. Say, I can do that. I can be the high and the high low. Or if you want me to be in the paint and be on that side of it, I can do that too. And I can shoot it better than people think I can. But can he shoot it like Will Cheddar? Maybe not as a true freshman. It'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out. I put a lot of stock in what Jet had to say about that. Between Will and Isaiah, I would lean Will Cheddar. And not just because of what Jet said, but also because of what Phil Martelli said about Isaiah Barnes' progression and what he cited. He's an exceptional athlete, Tim, but the game was moving kind of fast for him. Is to kind of put it, you know, Phil had a Philism, a Martelliism that he kind of threw on there. I can't remember exactly what he said, but essentially what he was getting at is, you know, they need to slow the game down for him. That the freshman year was about growing him up in skill and understanding the scheme and that kind of thing. And maybe that moves him further towards a competition, but does it displace somebody from the rotation? I can't see that this year necessarily. Maybe next year as he gets into his third year in the program. That's kind of how I see the trajectory.
I agree. And I don't want to see either one of them play because that means somebody got hurt. There's too much talent ahead of them. And with this configuration, with this lineup, I think Michigan will be deeper than last year. And I think that they will battle Indiana and Illinois as the best three teams in the Big Ten. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, man, I like that early. Again, I think that this will be for Michigan, it'll be a better offensive team than the one they just came off of. And that was a team that really started clearly trending up at the very end. I think that this team doesn't have as many holes. Doesn't have as many holes. And they're going to have a chance to sort of, to your point earlier, they're going to have a chance to sort of kind of hone their squad, hone their attack. Before the rest of the Big Ten, the rest of the country is really able to. I think that's really going to help them get off to a much better start and in turn have a much better season. So,
And then that leads us to the future. We've got maybe a big signing coming up this week or a big commitment.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got Yusuf Hyatt ready to make his decision. Papa Conte is a big man from South Kent. High school in South Kent, Connecticut, by way of Senegal. So he's been over here. I talked to him. He said he hadn't been home for 3 years, and he's going to get a chance to go back home. He actually called me from his Maryland visit, Tim. So he left his Michigan visit. Yeah, and went to his Maryland visit and called me from his Maryland visit. I think that bodes well for Michigan, right?
He was bored. He had nothing to do.
But, yeah, I mean, they really are selling him on, A, Juwan Howard's ability to develop bigs. Why wouldn't you believe in that, right, after what you've seen from him in a very small sample space? And then, B, you know, you look at how they used Musa. Now, he's not an explosive vertical athlete like Musa. So I want to make that clear in watching Papa. But the lateral movement, the ability to switch and stay with guys, the 94 feet of energy, high motor guy, willing defender. He can be a plus guy on that end of the floor. And he's starting to hit a few jumpers. I wouldn't call it a strength of his game, but it's something he's working on now. His coach is confident enough to let him shoot it, and that part of his game is growing too.
I like a lot of what you said, and I agree with you. I don't think he is a Musa athlete. His body, though, is going to remind you physically of Musa Diabate. And I think that he does have a very similar motor where he works hard on the glass. I think he's a much better shooter right now than Musa. And with that energy, that's all you really need out of a big guy. If he's got decent skills and athleticism, but he plays really hard and he loves the game, that's a good thing. I watched some tape on him and I was laughing because it just kind of reminded me that I've never watched a guy's highlight reel and seen him miss. You know, like these guys are 100%. So you've got to be objective when you look at their tapes. But I thought I saw a lot of really good things. And another comparison, I mean, it looks a little bit like Terrace Reed. And you don't always get a great snapshot of all of a guy's skills, because if he hits 1-3 the whole summer, you're going to see it. And that doesn't mean he's a 3-point shooter, right?
You're exactly right, Tim. I watched him for 4 games at EYB in the Louisville session at EYBL. He hit the first 3 I saw him take, and he didn't hit another one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but they look good. You know, the rest of them look good. And I made it a point to include one or two of the misses too. So I didn't, as we were talking about him shooting threes, yeah, we included the make, but I wanted to be clear in the video that this is not what you would call when you do a scouting report on him. That's not something that you would point to right now.
Right.
Maybe down the line.
Hunter Dickinson's a 3-point shooter. If you use that criteria, if you could put a highlight reel with 15 threes for Hunter Dickinson and you think he's a 3-point shooter. No, you just saw all the threes he made this year.
Right, right. But a guy who would be a really, really good piece to the puzzle, a guy that is really, really big on development, a gym rat talking to his coach, working on his shot, working on his game, working on his understanding of the game. Timeline-wise, he said he sort of left it open-ended. He said, I haven't been home in 3 years. I'm going to go home, spend some time with my family, and then think about it coming back. He still has a visit to Pitt to take as well, but nothing else scheduled. He's been to Rutgers. Rutgers has his good friend Gavin Griffiths committed, a three-point shooter, and Griffiths' mom is actually Papa's guardian. She was on the visit with Papa to Michigan and to Maryland and these other trips. But he insists that's not going to affect him. He said, I got to do what's best for me, just like Gavin has to do what's best for him. And that has me feeling pretty good about Michigan on that one, too.
Good. Well, next time we get together, Sam, we're going to talk about Papa Conte in the blue.
All right. From your lips, Tim. Looking forward to seeing you on the camp circuit as well, man. So can't wait for that. In the meantime, that's another one in the books. Maybe we'll give you guys some scouting reports from some summer action. I'm going to get to some team camp. I'm going to get to some more basketball camps and maybe see some more Michigan targets. So as always, Tim, I appreciate you. You got a prediction about who's going to go number one in the draft?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Jabari Smith. I spent a lot of time with him in Chicago at the draft combine, and I love his perspective. He was at the top 100 camp when he was in high school. Just a gracious kid. Really excited to watch him in the NBA.
All right, I got to sneak one more in. Do you think Jaden Ivey goes top 4?
Yes, I do. That's your guy, huh?
That's my guy.
Yeah, I think you're destined to see Keegan Murray, which would be a good thing. He's a pro. He's going to take his business serious, so I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Gotcha. All right, Tim, as always, appreciate you. And for all you watching and listening, appreciate you as well. Be sure to check us out next time here on the Michigan Basketball Insider.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.